This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
As promised, to kick off this 4 o'clock hour, let's go caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congratulations, you're going to win a four-pack of tickets to D.C. Defenders football, the home opener, this Sunday, March 30th over at Audi Field. Be there for the Red Zone home opener celebration. Defenders battling reigning UFL champion, the Birmingham Stallions. If you haven't been, go. It's fun. You will enjoy it. Great family atmosphere. Spring football is here. Weather should be nice this weekend. First game, Sunday at Audi Field. Four-pack of tickets to caller 10 right now on Grant and Danny.
As Washington prepares this offseason to protect its star quarterback, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Kondorian Murad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
440 today, the GM of the Capitals, Chris Patrick, on the new extension with Jacob Chychrun. Make sure you're listening at that time. Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz with the Nats on deck and the Commanders in the hole. We'll get to Chychrun in a moment with Sammy Silber of Hockey News, but I want to start. The game tonight is just a banger. With Sammy, this one's going to be awesome. Caps, Jets, top two teams in the league with 100-plus points. Top two teams in hockey playing this late into the season when both of them are number one in their conference and top three in scoring and goals allowed. It's only happened seven times. Just how good could tonight be?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great matchup. I mean, like you said, these two teams don't see each other a lot. And not only do you have, you know, both teams stopping their conference, but you got a lot of storylines. You know, you got Alex Ovechkin continuing his chase. Kyle Connor's having a great season in Winnipeg. And then goal, you know, you got Hellebuck versus Thompson. So a lot of good storylines, a lot of great, you know, things to look out for in this matchup and potentially a Stanley Cup final preview too, if you're thinking that. So lots to watch, and should be an exciting one.
Chychrun extension, obviously a big news today for the Capitals. What's your thoughts on the deal?
Yeah, I think it's a good deal. I think Chychrun's done, you know, quite a bit for the blue line and helped kind of, you know, Washington establish the identity that they have this season. He's a big reason for their success too. I mean, you see his goal scoring, you know, totals as point totals. And, you know, if you look at defensemen since, you know, 2021, you know, he's like the third highest scoring, you know, goal scoring defenseman. So really good deal. I think it's, you know, just about what he would get if he hit the market. So I don't think it's an overpay. I think with the cap going up and, you know, Carlson coming off the books in a couple of years, it sets Washington up for a good future, shores up their future core and just gives them a really good look on the blue line for years to come. So good deal. He's a well-liked guy in the room too. And honestly, it's good to see him get rewarded.
At Sammy Silber with an I, you can follow her on social. Real quick before we let you go, if people go check out at the Hockey News, what recent stories can they find? I really like the Stromer piece on how the rinks are made.
Yeah. yeah, no, I mean, you can find a lot of different pieces coming. You know, obviously today is all a lot of Chychrun stuff and him reflecting on the deal and that kind of stuff. But, you know, a lot of content. I really try to highlight the stories on, you know, that you don't see and kind of, you know, have some fun and, you know, let loose a little bit. You know, it's not all just news all the time. Yeah, you can talk to Strom about, you know, how the rinks are made, or, you know, Charlie Lindgren and I were talking about how it's not really fair that, you know, goalies have to go up and down and everybody else gets to stay on their feet the whole time. So a lot of funny stuff coming, a lot of really good stuff coming that I'm working on, and I just appreciate everybody who takes time to read it.
Absolutely. Sammy, appreciate the time joining us today.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
Darius, let's talk some Nationals. Joining us to talk about the Nats, the guy that we saw over at the ballpark yesterday, Bobby Blanco from MassinSports.com. Bobby, DJ Hurst today, we find out a UCL sprain. Does this mean Tommy John down the line, or what does this mean for him?
Yeah, it was good seeing you guys yesterday, and hopefully see you guys on Thursday for opening day. But yeah, no, after yesterday's rainout, and then now the news this morning, kind of a bummer last 2 days for the Nationals. UCL sprain is nothing you ever want to hear when it comes to terms to a pitcher, usually associated with Tommy John, or sometimes it could be that internal brace procedure. Sounds like we won't have an update until we get back to the park on Thursday on opening day. You know, DJ dealt with some fatigue and velocity loss in spring training. He told reporters that this is something he always goes through during every spring, so he kind of brushed it off. The team themselves even kind of said it was fine. His last appearance this spring before they came back up to D.C. was actually on the backfields in West Palm Beach, not an actual game. So no one actually saw him pitch other than, you know, Nationals coaches and front office people. And the reports was he was good and he was back up to his normal velocity. And he threw, I think it was something between like 80, 90 pitches in a sim game. So that was good news. And then all of a sudden we see that he's on the IL this morning. And, you know, you see UCL sprain. That's never good news. So hopefully it's something that maybe with some rest and some treatment, sometimes a cortisone shot works, he can get back to pitching at some point this year. But, yeah, it's not good news to start the day and tough news before opening day.
Bobby, I'm going to go through the three roster decisions that still need to be made. We'll get definitive answers on these tomorrow ahead of opening day, I'm sure. But here's the three spots. Let's go rapid fire. Do you think they keep Tana or Yepez as the last infielder?
It's a tough one. I'm going to go – I think Yepez just brings more offensive power. I know Tana has more defensive upside, but I think right now, I mean, they need to score runs early to start the season, so I'm going to go Yepez.
Yepez does have one option, and I don't know that Tana does, so that could complicate things. How about Adams or Kisner behind the plate? This is Riley Adams, who's been the mainstay backing up K-Bert Ruiz, and then Kisner, who's 30-plus, who they just brought in to compete, and is – I'm surprised, but still hanging around on the roster.
Yeah, Riley Adams does not have an option. So if they decided to part ways with him, they would have to DFA him and expose him to waivers and then hope he accepts – well, passes through and then hope he accepts the minor league outright. I'm going to say they keep Riley, give him another shot back there. I know he's had a tough spring, but Kinsner hasn't had that much of an impressive spring either. I agree with you. It is odd that he's still around when they had Drew Millis available, but they sound like they want Drew to play every day, so they send him down to AAA to start the year. I'm going to get to give Riley one more shot out here. Otherwise, they're going to have to DFA him.
All right, then two bullpen spots for three arms. Two of them are kind of the homegrown kids. Jackson Rutledge, who's been moved to the pen. Brad Lord, who's a starter who would be moonlighting as a reliever just to be on the big league team. And then Orlando Ribalta. You tell me if you disagree with any of this. I think Ribalta is the first guy of the three that are in. So then it's Rutt versus Lord. And even though I like Lord more, Lord, because he's still a starter with hers hurt and maybe hurt for a while, it would seem to me like you send him down, keep him stretched out, and have him be a first responder starter at AAA, and maybe Rutledge by default becomes the reliever since they've already made him a full-time reliever moving forward. But tell me if you disagree with any of that.
No, I agree with you. I think Robalta is in. He had a really good spring. He's another big reliever that can throw hard. So I think the Nationals really liked him. He had a really strong camp. And then the last two spots, I agree. Like, I think before today, I could have made a strong argument for Brad Lohr to make it, even though he hasn't made his Major League debut yet. But after the news from DJ Hirsch this morning, I think it makes more sense for him to be stretched back out to a starter just to add some more depth down there. Because, you know, we saw Shinosuke Ogasawara over the spring. He didn't look all that impressive. You know, when they need a sixth starter, who's going to be the first man up? I wouldn't trust Shin. So maybe stretch back Brad Lohr out to be a starter and give Jackson that last spot in the bullpen. In small spurts, Jackson has been pretty good as a reliever so far. If he can keep it up, that might be his path to being a major leaguer. But I think that's the way it shakes out on Thursday.
Bobby, always good to talk. We'll see you on Thursday.
Yeah, can't wait, guys. Thanks.
Two more days, baby. Opening day right around the corner. Remember, G&D tomorrow, we are live out in Ashburn at Lost Rhino at the Brew Pub. And Charlie and Dave are joining us from 5 to 6:30 for a season preview special 90 minutes. Tress Way is actually going to be out there with us from 2:30 to 3:30. So if you're in the Ashburn area, you want to check any of that out, come stop by.
Let's talk about the Commanders. Joining us to talk about those Commanders is the one and only Earl Forsey. Earl, I want to get your thoughts. You were listening to us earlier kind of argue about this, about whether you would trade pick number 29, trade back. We also kind of stumbled into, would you trade pick number 29 for Trey Henderson? What are your thoughts on that?
First of all, second part, yes, absolutely. Trade the draft for Trey Hendricks. I don't care. Look, I'm just about getting good players. People get too wrapped up in two things, how much money they spend and the draft picks. Guys, I grew up in a time where, you know, I'm a child of the 70s. They didn't have a first-round draft pick at all in the 70s, not 71, 70, in the entire decade, they didn't. And then you get to the 80s, Monk, May, Darryl Green. Other than that, they had no first-round picks through the 80s. That team did pretty good. Last I checked, they have three shiny Super Bowl trophies collecting dust over there. So, look, this front office, I trust, they've accelerated things, I think, because they're a lot better, a lot quicker than they thought they would be. So they go out and sign some of the veteran players, trade a couple of picks. I'm okay with Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil. I don't think you're going to get that with the picks they traded away in this draft. You'll worry about next year's draft next year. If they can trade down and maybe get some, because here's the thing with this draft, it may not be great. I mean, there may be tiers of guys that are kind of, you know, 29, maybe you can get the same kind of player 5-10 picks later and pick up another pick. So I'm not of the always trade down group of people that exist when it comes to the NFL draft. I think you, for the most part, stay where you are. Teams make mistakes because there's a lot of not smart people running teams around the NFL and probably make mistakes that you can benefit from. Like many years, teams took advantage of Ron Rivera and crew, you know, missing on players and running up cards because of the guys that were there. So I'm not sure it really matters either way. But I'm okay with selling off picks for you know, players if they're good players, and they've gotten a couple of good players this offseason. It made their offseason, the two trades they made.
Earl, it sounds like we're pretty much in lockstep on the idea of 29 for Hendrickson, maybe even trading back. Do you view their corner room right now as okay to start the season with Lattimore and Jonathan Jones maybe starting with Mikey Sandra still? Or do you think it's still a necessity that they've got to go do something else?
It's okay, and the big key is Lattimore. Because all we heard, and Albert Breer was first on this, the SI guy, we know Albert Breer, you've had him on a bunch of times. When that trade was made that week, he said, this was not a deal to make a push for the playoffs. This was the first, basically his words, this was their first big move of the offseason, is what he said. So Lattimore, you have to lump into what they did with Tunsil and Deebo as well. Now, it didn't work out late last year. He comes injured. He's damaged merchandise. Okay, let's see the hamstring get health. He's got to be the guy, at least, that's close to a number one corner, which he was his entire career in New Orleans. You know, all of a sudden, become Josh Norman when he gets there. I don't know what happens with players, but that's a big key for them. Because if Lattimore is right and back to being a number one, put him on A.J. Brown and lock him up and let him stop him type of guy, which he wasn't this year, then that's a whole different story. But I think, look, there's and two easy questions for this offseason, guys, and the draft coming up to me. With Jaden Daniels at QB, is this a yes or no answers? Is this a good enough offense to compete with anybody in the NFL? And question two, is it a good enough defense to compete with anybody in the NFL? The answer to the first question is yes. The answer to the second question is no. You've got to upgrade still on defense.
Great insight as always. Appreciate it, Earl. Always great to chat.
Yep.
Earl Forsey, ladies and gentlemen, keeping you up to date every half hour today on 106.7 The Fan. At the end of this hour, coming up in a little over 20 minutes, the GM of the Capitals, Chris Patrick, is going to hop onto the show to discuss the extension he got done today with Jacob Chychrun. Make sure you're listening to that at 4:40 right here on The Fan. Next, I got a little bit of heat for how I tiered the Washington Commanders wide receiver room on social today. I want to run my synopsis by Toby, see what he agrees and disagrees with, and I'll explain one of the points that I made that a lot of people didn't like and see if I'm off base here. We'll do that next, talking Commanders receivers ahead of the GM of the Caps on The Fan.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell Russell to get off your back about Dino Nuggets. Toby makes one comment.
There's better. They're
about
good.
Liking Dino Chicken Nuggets, and Russell can't get over it. What are you guys arguing about, that you think they're different than chicken nuggets?
I think they taste better.
And he's saying that they taste the exact same.
He's saying they're all nuggets are the same.
That doesn't even make sense. Because a McDonald's chicken nugget tastes different than a Wendy's chicken nugget, tastes different than a Burger King chicken nugget.
Yeah, I'm just contending, like, if I want to feel like a kid again, and I want nuggets that are good with ketchup, there's not a better nugget with ketchup than Dino Nuggies. There just isn't.
I agree. You are also single.
Yes.
You live by yourself.
And I can do whatever I want.
You can do what you want, and you provide for yourself in terms of
correct
food. You know what you should be doing? You should be eating meatballs and chicken nuggets every single night.
Yeah, I do.
Maybe not both of them at this, but like one night, we're going to do meatballs.
By the way, boy girl.
The next day, we're going to do chicken nuggets.
Cheaper than the other chicken nuggets I buy.
Boxed mac and cheese. Why not? You know what I would do if I was you? I would go to Costco or something.
Yeah.
And I would just get trays of like the mac and cheese or, you know, whatever you like, mashed potatoes. And I would just do one little serving for myself each night with a meat.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, every single day, that's what I would do. Just heat it up. It's time for dinner. But yeah, I agree with you. They do taste different. They are chicken nuggets. You're acknowledging that.
Yes, they're different. But they're different styles.
But every single chicken nugget tastes different.
Correct.
I don't understand what his point would be. That
I think he looks at me differently because I'm 26 buying dinosaur nuggets. And I don't care.
Okay, so that's a different conversation. Is he looking down on you and shaming you for eating a child's entree?
Probably, a little bit.
Okay. First of all, they're delicious, so get off my back.
I mean, to be fair, you're the one with the child's appetite as well. So
and I
know I'm not going to get an enemy in Grant Paulson on
kids
this.
Kids eat like kings. You're doing it right. There's nothing wrong with how you're living your life.
That's exactly
but
right.
If his contention is that all chicken nuggets taste the same, that's just preposterous. I'm sorry. That's like saying all steak. It's steak. It's the same. It's steak. So a steak that I cook at my house is the same as a steak I'm eating out in Tyson's Corner at Randy's. Get out of here. That's just not true.
Yeah, I mean, it's plain and simple. I have some that are like those chicken chunks, and those are good, and those are more grown-up chicken nuggets. But sometimes I enjoy the dino nuggies.
The voice of Toby Altizer. I'm Grant Paulson. Danny is out ill today. G&D here on The Fan. Go vote on our Twitter poll. ESPN had a piece suggesting that the Commanders need to trade down from pick number 29. Do you agree that that is what they should do? That is the Metropolitan Moving and Storage Grant and Danny poll of the day on social media, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience for Metropolitan Moving and Storage. So I tweeted this today, Toby. I want to know if you agree with the people that were upset about this.
Sure.
So I was looking at the Commanders' depth chart. I was not on air when they signed Michael Gallup. To me, that is a near-nothing burger of a signing.
Yeah, Jag, if he makes the roster, great.
I hope that he helps them. That is where I'm at on Michael Gallup. I haven't talked to JP. I actually meant to do that yesterday when we were all at the Nats Gala. But our buddy JP Finley hosts in middays. Him and B. Mitch do their show from 10 to 2 every day. He tweeted something to the effect of Washington added a deep threat or something in Michael Gallup. I do not see it that way. Number one, I don't know that he's a deep threat. But number two, I think they added a guy that if they get something out of him, it's a plus. Like, he is in a category to me where if he is making catches in games and helping them win football games this year, I'll be thrilled because that is not my expectation. It's a wake me up when he does something kind of move. Yeah. That's how little I feel about it. Having said that, I was thinking about how maybe they're done at receiver and they've got enough veterans now that they could not add anybody else and feel okay starting the year. I still really hope they draft the guy, but if we're saying they need a corner and we're saying they need an edge and we're saying they need a speedy running back and they only have 5 picks and only 3 of them are before the 5th round, at some point they're not going to be able to get everything, right? There's just not enough quantity in terms of the selections. So maybe this is it. So I started tiering the Commanders' wide receiver room. Here's what I came up with. I labeled my tiers thusly. No concerns, absolute stud. The only receiver I have in that tier is Terry McLaurin.
And that's correct.
Okay? The next tier correct. I've got is ceiling of being a really legit weapon. Now, I say this because there's some baggage and there's some concern, and who knows if he stays healthy. But at his best, this guy could be a really legit weapon. I have Deebo Samuel and none of their other wide receivers.
Correct.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, and by the way, correct on weapon, because I don't think he's a legit wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he could be a good weapon offensively. Now, a couple of people took issue with me not putting Noah Brown in that category. And I don't think Noah Brown, at his best, is like an outstanding player. I think we saw it last year. I think he's a serviceable piece, but we'll get to him. The next category I have, this is not ranked in the order of quality. This is just kind of the tiers.
Sure.
I've got the potential to be really good, but hasn't shown it yet. Luke McCaffrey.
Yep.
You drafted him in the 3rd round. He's got a nice skill set. I think he could be great in the red zone. You know, could make athletic plays with people jumping up in the air around him and bring the ball down in traffic. But we just haven't seen it because they haven't really used him. He hasn't developed yet. I don't think they've got another guy in that tier. Then I go to non-impact depth players. I've got Noah Brown and KJ Osborne. Osborne last year showed nothing, and so you could put him in my worst category, which is anything I get is a bonus, and I think that would make perfect sense too. But people sleep. KJ Osborne with the Vikings was actually a baller. Like there was a time where he did more with Minnesota than, say, Noah Brown at the peak of his powers in Houston. But this is where I caught the most shrapnel. A lot of Commanders fans, I don't know if it's the Hail Mary, I don't know, you know, that cologne still on Noah Brown, or just that they like the size or what. But basically, the idea that I put him in the category of non-impact depth wide receiver did not sit well with Commanders fans.
Yeah, I think it's a bit harsh. I think he can be a little bit more than that. I mean, last year, he had 453 receiving yards in 11 games. So you figure if he plays the full 17, you get, what, maybe 650?
But was he an impact player?
I think he can be.
How often last year? I don't mean the individual play where the ball landed in his lap.
Of course.
But I mean, how often in a game was he impactful?
There were a couple times, big spots down at the end of games, he was making catches. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be, you don't want him as your legit number two receiver, which he might have to fill in because of the fact that Debo is more weapon than receiver, like we talked about. But I think that Noah Brown is a little bit better than you're giving him credit for, but he's not some stud number two if people are trying to make that argument either.
So maybe it's a semantics thing.
Yeah, I think it is.
Because when I'm saying impactful, like what I mean by that is...
Well, what do you think?
Someone who could scare a coordinator.
He goes for seven. He plays 17 games this year. How many yards do you think he goes for?
Is Debo healthy?
Yeah. Like assuming
I would say 425.
That's it?
Probably.
Oh, I think he'd go for 600-700, maybe a little bit more.
I don't know. I mean, they're not going to be a throw first team. Jaden Daniels is going to run 8,000 times. And Terry McLaurin's going to catch 90 balls. And Debo Samuel, if he plays 15 plus games, is going to catch the second most balls.
Sure.
And then Noah Brown is third. So you think on a team that is run first and has a running quarterback that will lead the league in rushing attempts at the position, that a number three receiver will have 600 yards?
Yeah, why not?
Because Zach Ertz is their number two receiver.
I think he's going to be decently effective. Now, yeah. I think where we're going to differ is you're probably higher on the role that Debo's going to have, because I really don't think Debo's going to... He'll give you what he did last year, which isn't a lot. 800 total yards from scrimmage. That's 200 rushing, 600 receiving.
You think if he plays 15 games, that's still the case?
Correct. I don't, so
I'm higher on Debo for sure.
Yeah, so I think I'm a little lower on Debo, higher on Noah Brown. You're kind of the opposite. But I think Noah Brown can be a reasonable run slants, hit him for a 10-yard gain, reliable on third down. He's obviously going to be big in the blocking game. So I think for that reason, he's going to be on the field enough that he's just going to run into 600 yards receiving.
Yeah, I think he could go 4 for 40 a bunch, and that would get him to 600 yards, to your point, if he played 17 times. Again, it is probably semantics, and I think I'll just tip my cap to the people saying maybe I'm not giving him enough credit and say, okay. My point is just he was released by the Texans.
Yeah.
You know, in a depth chart issue, comes to Washington, and yes, was helpful. And I like Noah Brown. It sounds like I'm running him down. That's not my intention. But I don't think there's ever a game where a defensive coordinator is like, oh, damn, they got Noah Brown on this guy.
Sure.
Like, it is dig routes and in breakers and boxing guys out, and it's 3 for 39. It's 4 for 51.
To your point, I think there's two of those guys on this team right now, Terry and Debo. But Zach Ertz was really effective last year, and I don't think Zach Ertz is that guy. So, again, semantics, I think, is what we're arguing over here.
Not that guy, meaning that can repeat last season?
No, I think he can. I'm saying that he was never a guy that you're like, oh, we got a game plan around Zach Ertz. But
no,
he was really effective.
It's different because at his position, right, the role he played, sure-handed, route runner, zone beater, move the chains underneath. Like, I'm asking, if he averages 9 yards a catch, I'm fine with that. If Noah Brown averages that as a wide receiver, it's, you know, you're looking for more explosive stuff, and I just don't know that happening.
He's not an explosive receiver, but I think he fits more into that security blanket style with Zach
Ertz. What category would you label him as?
If
you don't like non-impact depth receiver, which to me is like in a Super Bowl caliber operation, he's the, at best, the third receiver, probably more the fourth. To me, that's a depth player, but again, semantics,
yeah,
whatever.
Again,
what's your
category? I think if we're going off of that, I would just take out the last part. I think he's a solid player that can help you. I think he is a depth player.
So would he be in his own category, or would you put like an Osborne with
him? I think he's in the same category, or he's in his own category.
So solid depth option.
Yeah,
like solid something that's a more positive connotation.
Someone that you know you can depend on. He's not going to be going for 1,000 yards anytime soon, but someone that you can throw out on the field and you feel fine with.
The non-impact, I think, is what people... It feels negative.
Correct. Yes.
I'm just saying... An impact receiver, you know what it looks like.
Yes.
It's like being pregnant. You are,
again,
you're not.
We're arguing over semantics, because I think, too... KJ Osborne, I think, fits in that category, but also wouldn't surprise me if a half year in the system now and
that's
he comes out this year and goes for 500-700 yards, right?
You got a lot of yards for the receiver group.
I think they're going to throw
Jayden's
the ball.
Jayden's about to throw for 5K.
I hope so. Would love it.
What about all those rushing attempts, though?
If they don't get another running back, then sign me up to pass the football.
I like throwing the football. It's what I like to do, so I am in on
if
that.
If they get a stud running back, then let's run the ball. If we're going to roll with B-Rob and Eckler again, throw the football.
GM Chris Patrick of the Capitals signed Jacob Chychrun to an 8-year extension today. He joins us next on G&D. There is a pretty big hockey game tonight, right here on 106.7, the Fan in the 8 o'clock hour. The Caps and the Winnipeg Jets, the two best teams in the National Hockey League. Couple of horse race for the President's Trophy. Washington, 102 points, sets the pace in 70 games in the NHL. Winnipeg's got 100 points. And I thought we'd be talking a lot about that game today, and that would be the lead as far as our Caps content. I thought wrong, though, because my guy, your guy, our guy, Jacob Chychrun, our weekly guest, who will be on the show again tomorrow to celebrate his new contract at 3 o'clock live here on The Fan, got an 8-year deal for $72 million. He earned every penny. And the guy that helped strike that deal and get it done with Chychrun is on our hotline right now, Chris Patrick, the general manager of the Washington Capitals. Chris, first of all, take a bow. Congratulations, not only for the Chychrun extension, but for everything that you and Brian McClellan have done since last year at this time, working beautifully. You guys are you don't miss. Can you come over and help me at the house?
Well, I love doing stuff around the house. You can just ask my wife, so I'll be happy to do that anytime. Need a little drywall work or something. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a fun season, a lot of hard work, across the board, not just Brian and myself, but our hockey ops group, our analytics team, the coaching staff, the players. It's been a great year. I think, as I've said in the past, a lot of new faces coming in. I think the biggest reason it's gone as well as it has is because our leadership group, Alex, Tom, John, Nick Dowd, Dylan Strome, they right away brought these guys in and made them feel comfortable and helped them get, acclimated to both the area and the system and the kind of hockey we play. And from right from the early in training camp, you could tell that, there was a good vibe around the team. So huge credit to the players and obviously, really happy it's worked out this way so far.
I mean, Chris, as a longtime radio listener and now having done radio for a while, you get an executive on and you just kind of, pump their tires a bunch. You're like, oh, come on, GP, enough already. I try not to. I'd love to just, ask tough questions. I'm about to be Jenny Finch. I mean, you're never going to do a better interview than this. I'm telling you right now, what you guys have done has been astounding. And every Caps fan coming into the season, whatever expectations they have, right now has got to be elated with seemingly every move you guys made worked out beautifully. I guess the one thing maybe is Mangiapane hasn't quite lived up to expectations, but you guys are batting like .978. Have you ever considered the possibility that you could make a move that wouldn't work? Like, have you thought about that at any point?
Yeah, and all of us have been around here for a while with the organization, so we made plenty of moves that didn't work as well as we hoped or were maybe flat to how we hoped. But, this is certainly a situation where, every deal you do, you work hard on it and you think through all the possibilities, both positive and negative, and it feels like it. Every guy came in and really exceeded what we would hope they would have done. And even Andrew, I think, came in and the role he's playing is a role that we felt was really important to have a guy like him on the team, kind of a swing guy that can go, play in the bottom six or the top six depending on what the needs are. So, it's nice when it works out the way you plan. It doesn't always work out that way. And so when you get those wins, we'll take them for sure.
I think a lot of Capitals fans kept refreshing their feed, hoping we get the news that we got this morning that Jacob Chychrun was extended. What went into that? That's something that's been worked on all throughout the season. You finally got across the finish line, or is that something that came up recently? How did those negotiations get to the point that they were today?
Yeah, we started, his agent and I started talking. We had some early conversations back in the fall, but really started talking in earnest, at the start of the new year here. And I think it took a while to get some serious traction. I think a lot of just trying to figure out, they have their group of players that they're going to use as comparables, and we have ours, and trying to find somewhere in the middle that makes sense for both sides. And I think with the playoffs coming up, it's definitely not something you want to do going into the playoffs. And then with a player like Jacob, who, if you get out of the playoffs and you've got 1 month till the free agency period starts, I mean, it just, at that point for him, it's almost like, why should I rush and do anything now? So I felt like getting something done here at the end of the regular season would be good timing wise. So kind of up the intensity, I guess, a little bit and tried to find some common ground, which luckily we did in the last couple of days.
Chris, it goes without saying, $9 million's a lot, and that's kind of Ovi, Backy, and nobody else territory. in this organization previously, but the cap is absolutely exploding. How much of the growth projected over the next 3 years that, you know, teams have been basically told about from the league headquarters already made this possible, or was that not even a consideration because you had to keep them one way or the other?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a consideration. And even before the guidance came out, I mean, the agency that represents them is a really smart group of people, and they had done their own homework, and they'd done the math on where league revenues are and what the player's share that would be. And after you get through kind of the makeup payments for COVID that were contractually set forth at the time, like, they had a pretty good sense for where that cap was going. And then when the guidance came out, it pretty much synced up with what they had. So right from the start, that was, you know, a point on their side is that the cap is going to have some pretty serious growth here. And yeah, I mean, I think too, in the end, if you rank kind of the defense in the league by salary and where Jake fits in, you know, I think he's in a good spot, and a lot of those deals were signed in lower cap environments. So I think it shows that he was willing to work with us as much as we were willing to work with him. And he was willing to forgo, you know, becoming an unrestricted free agent at the age of 27, which doesn't happen a lot. And I think that really speaks to you know, what we have going here in Washington and how much he wanted to be a part of it. So I was really excited that he was willing to come our way.
How much urgency was there to get it done before the season ended? Obviously, like you talked about, you don't want to do it getting real too close to the playoffs, but also don't want to let him hit the free market and try to keep him here so that way you maybe don't have to up the offer even more. How much urgency was there to get this done as soon as you possibly could?
Yeah, this was definitely kind of priority number one coming out of the trade deadline. Once we got that past us, you know, this was something that I was hoping we could get done in the near future. So I'd say a decent amount of urgency. If you look, you know, you can look through the history of the league, you know, players that are heading up to a potential big payday on free agency, the longer you wait, and especially the further you get from the season being over, the more it just becomes, you know, let's see what else is out there. So I think all along too, his size and Jacob himself has been saying they've really loved it here. They've loved the fit. And it sounded like a place that he wanted to be here for a long time. So no reason to wait around till the off season to do it if that's his mindset. So I was happy that worked out that way.
A huge day for the Caps, a massive extension for Jacob Chychrun. Basically gets the Carlson contract, the 8 and the 64 after the cup, but a couple of years younger, and with an exploding cap, a smaller percentage of the cap to be the building block for the next wave of defense here for the Capitals in the years ahead as they're built. Sustainably be excellent at the NHL level now and for years to come with some of the prospects coming, which we can ask Chris about in a moment. Hey, do you remember when you signed Alexi Protas to that 5-year deal and everyone said it was crazy? How funny is that? Like, people were making fun of you, like, Alexi Protas? Really? $3 million a year? Oh, my God. Who is this man? And how did it happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun watching Alexei from when we drafted him. I mean, when we drafted him, you know, big guy, still a little raw, but you could see the skill level, you could see the hockey sense, and then you know, you watch it develop through Hershey, wins a Calder Cup in Hershey, shows he can be a big player in big moments, you know, has a good, you know, really his first full season last season, and has a good season, even though production-wise maybe it wasn't where he wanted to be, but you don't get those deals without taking a little risk on both sides, right? So the team has to be willing to be like, well, he may not turn out the way we think he's going to turn out, but if he does, then we'll really like this deal. And the player has to also say, you know, I'm willing to take the security now, and whatever happens. And so, yeah, it turned out well. And yeah, he's been quite a force for us this year. It's been awesome to see.
Chris Patrick, GM of the Capitals, he and Brian McClellan working in unison in that front office. Just thinking about the Chychrun deal again, I'm kind of curious. With a deal of that magnitude, that much money, that many years, does ownership have to be involved where Ted is in the mix too, or is it still just hockey guys doing hockey stuff?
Yeah, we try to keep a pretty open line of communication to ownership, and that kind of runs through Mac and Dick Patrick, my father.
That's hilarious. So Dick's like, yeah, that's funny. You're like, that guy, you know, my dad.
Yeah. But so, you know, Dick does a good job of making sure, you know, he filters to Ted, you know, when things are starting to get kind of like, you know, it looks like something might happen. So he keeps Ted informed on that front. So yeah, Dick was aware all along. Once we started getting into like, all right, it's starting to get a little more traction here with Jacob. You know, I started filling him in on where we were number wise, and he was making sure Ted was on board with that.
So Grant was giving you your flowers for all the moves you made this offseason and stuff that you've obviously come up gold on. I think last offseason, you guys hiring Coach Carberry was a little bit of a risk, and it has been well worth it. He's been one of the best coaches in the league, maybe the front runner to win the Coach of the Year this year. How impressed have you guys been with Coach Carbs, and did you think he was going to be able to do what he's done now in year two?
Really impressed, I guess, but I don't want to like minimize anything. Like, I mean, not surprised at all, just having known Spencer going back even to his South Carolina days, but having worked really closely with him when he was in Hershey. I mean, this is what Carbs is. Like, he's an excellent communicator. He's great in front of the group. You know, he can be hard on the players, but he talks to the players. They know where they stand with him. And, you know, all the things that he did as an up-and-coming coach in the AHL, like, has come to fruition here in the NHL too. So I guess, you know, one of the concerns you have with hiring a first-year, you know, younger coach is how he handles the veteran-type guys and if they buy into what he's selling. And you know, he's come in and done that flawlessly. So I guess that was maybe, you know, one thing that you would have a concern about. But, yes, it's been an impressive 2 years of work for him, and we're definitely lucky to have him.
You're listening to GM Chris Patrick of the Capitals on Grant and Danny. We're really putting him on the coals here, really getting to the bottom of some things. It's been just a tough year for he and his decision-makers. Best team in the NHL, Ovi about to break Gretzky's record, and a system that is flourishing in front of our eyes. The Caps set up to be really good for a long, long time. Andrew Crystal, Ryan Leonard, Ilya Protas, Cole Hudson all on the way among the elite prospects. Ryan Leonard, are we going to see him play in playoff games this year?
I mean, I certainly hope so. We'll have to see here. He's in a pretty important part of his season right now, so we're making sure that he has the proper space and time to do that. He's got one goal left here that he wants to do in college, which is to win a national championship. So, you know, we're hoping that he can continue to have success in that. And then as soon as his college season is over, we'll get on the phone and talk to his agent and see if there's something to be done here for the remainder of this season. And if that's the case, then yeah, we'll hopefully have him in for the last part in the playoff run.
That would feel like a gigantic leap, but we have seen guys make it. I mean, how confident would you be if he played for a handful of games at the end of the regular season that he could actually be helpful in a playoff run at the NHL level?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know until you see it. But just the fact that he's played on the biggest stages someone his age can at the U20 level and winning gold medals there. And he even played in the World Championships, you know, against men last spring with Team USA. So he's been exposed to some higher level competition. And like I said, the group we have in our room and our leadership group have done a great job of integrating guys. So I'm sure they get him in and get him feeling comfortable and help kind of teach him along the way about the system and how we're playing. And, you know, I think there already is probably some texting back and forth with him and some of our leadership group about you know, what it takes to be a Caps player and the Caps way and things like that. So, you know, hopefully he can come in and have a little boost. I remember Tom Wilson, I think some of his first games with us were in the playoffs against the Rangers, maybe.
And, yeah, that's right.
You know, it's you get that kind of element, you know, a young kid that's going to go out there and just kind of give it his all and compete hard and has some skill and some ability to disrupt and you know, he can have an impact. So, you know, maybe it'd be something similar to that.
Listen, Chris, you guys have only won 9 of your last 10, so get it together. Only 4 in a row, could be 5, right? Points in 12 of your last 13 on the road, should be 13 out of 13. So just make sure you guys are taking things seriously over there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, definitely the vibe around the skate this morning, guys are definitely in a good spot for tonight. I think it should be a good game. The group was was engaged, loose, but focused. So, you know, and I think the guys, they've all done it. They've all been in the playoffs. I was looking through our roster. I think every guy on the team has played some level of NHL playoffs, except for maybe one. So, so they know that, you know, regular season is what it is, but it's a whole new level when we get to the playoffs, and that you have to be ready to start fresh, start new, you know, zero wins, zero losses, and know that team that's playing across from you deserves to be there every bit as much as you do. And it's going to be a battle. So I think we're getting that mindset going with our group.
Can't wait. Just the seventh time ever tonight that this deep into a season, number one team in the East playing number one team in the West, when both are top three in goals scored and goals allowed. Should be a lot of fun starting at 8 o'clock in Winnipeg. But the bigger news, Jacob Chychrun is locked in for 8 years after the deal struck by Chris Patrick, the GM of the Capitals, who's joining us here on G&D. Chris, thank you. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, definitely happy to do it. And, yeah, hopefully we catch up after a nice long playoff run.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we won't beat you up as bad next time. Don't worry.
You got the first people have been telling me that. It's not going to be fun when the interviews turn the other way at some point.
We'll do one of those. Let's wait a couple of years. We'll do those too. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Chris Patrick, GM of the Capitals, on Grant and Danny. Very kind with his time here on The Fan. At 6, you'll hear from Joe B as we look ahead to the Winnipeg game tonight. Next, though, we'll hop to the NFL and the quarterback carousel on The Fan.